And big word of the week is, I just looked this up, I don't even know it's a real word. I've always used this word to describe something I didn't know what it actually was. The word of the week, big word of the week, is flibbertigibbet. Flibbertigibbet, fucking what a great word. Flibbertigibbet. Flibbertigibbet, meaning a frill... meaning, I've just had a lot of coffee. Meaning a frivolous and flighty person who is particularly loquacious. Loquacious. Fuck. I've got really slow internet. I'm on a ship. I don't know what loquacious means. I really can't afford to go back on the internet to look it up what it is. You can look it up what it is. A frivolous and flighty person. We'll leave it as that. Flibbertigibbet. Good name for a fucking band. Please welcome to the stage, Flibbertigibbet. Let's get into the podcast. G'day, Mind Meatheads. International language of this podcast is Greek. Been eating a lot of feta cheese. I think that's Greek. It's in a Greek salad, isn't it? But hello in Greek is Yasu. Haven't podcasted for a long time. Been moving house. I'm finally moved out of my old home into my new home with my lovely lady and her family, her two kids. Loving it, enjoying it. But now I'm away on a cruise. I thought I'd do a little podcast interviewing a dear old friend of mine, a bloke by the name of Mr. Chris Wainhouse, a comedian's comedian, great writer, very good musician. He talks that down, but he's a very good guitar player. I started out in comedy with him 20 years ago, and we had a little chat in a very interesting place on the Carnival Spirit. Please enjoy my chat with Mr. Christopher Wainhouse.
Yeah, here we are.
Okay. Hi, Mick.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Where are we?
Can you explain where we are?
We're in the Coral Sea going over a graveyard right now.
Right. What sort of a graveyard is it?
Well, this is from the World Wars.
Oh, okay.
There'll be heaps of ships and planes and things buried under here or sunk.
Are you big on history?
Oh, I enjoy it.
Enjoy it?
Yeah.
You got a great joke about Australian history.
I do.
Is it getting a roll out this cruise?
It's going to definitely get a roll out this cruise. It's touch and go, that one, though. Sometimes I get boosty Australians that don't like it at all.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, I know.
Fucking hell.
They're always the people who know nothing about the
country.
Yeah,
history, they just go,
we've got the most history.
Oh, hang on. Here's an announcement.
Ooh.
Well, very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you have a fantastic time out there. Well, folks, we've got plenty taking place all around the ship this afternoon.
We might get a Guernsey here.
Good morning, everybody. We'll see you very shortly for our Sousa Palooza parade.
Sousa Palooza. This Seussical the Musical is out too, did you know that?
What's that about?
Oh, it's Dr. Seuss stuff. I've written a Seussorno the Porno. it's the Cat in the Hat and Myrtle the Turtle eat green eggs and pork.
Right. That's lovely. How long does it go for?
I don't know. It's 5 minutes, the normal duration.
So we're on the Carnival Spirit in the chapel of all places. Your suggestion, chapel. It's very bright, the chapel, isn't it?
It is.
A lot of wood grain. A lot of dramatic pictures.
Little tiny doodled babies with butterfly wings.
Yeah.
Butterfly babies.
A bit of stained glass happening there.
Yeah.
Dodgy carpeting.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's very, that blue carpet is very American evangelical kind of church, isn't it?
With
Faith Healy, that electric blue. Let's make a church look like a Westfield shopping centre.
It's a pretty good view outside, though. It's better than our cabin.
Yeah.
So how long have you been doing these cruise ships now, Chris?
Since at the end of the festival this year, so April maybe. April was my first cruise.
What's the upside of cruising?
Upside of cruising is I pay my rent.
Right. What's the downside of cruising?
Downside of cruising is I have to go on them. I got to sit next to fatties and we all saw my show last at the end of the cruise last night. That was, or well, not last night, the night before the end of the last cruise. Horrible. Worse. That was pretty bad, wasn't it?
Well, it was one of them nights that probably shouldn't have been comedy night because it was the last night of the cruise.
Yeah.
And people are tired. People have been vomiting all day.
Yes. I love the fact that they've got to have their bags packed and outside their door at 10:30. Show starts at 11.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of people turn up naked.
You got to be up
nude. Just nude. Oh, shit, I didn't pack anything. It'll be right. I won't get picked.
That's why I wasn't nervous.
Yeah.
I was just imagining them all with their, well, as they were.
How do you get over a shit gig like that?
I go to my room, drink a bit of wine and laugh, really. Yeah. I ended up laughing. At the time, I was shattered. And, like, I walked away from that going, oh, it was horrible. But, you know.
It's interesting because it's good to be with another comic when shit like that happens because they know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
But if you're on your own, like if you walked off stage just then and it just would have been like a comedy club manager.
Oh.
Imagine the consolation from them.
Oh, that would have been horrible.
Which would have been zero.
Yeah, if you weren't there, you were pretty cool. You were like, oh, fuck, man, that happens to all of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been there. I've been worse.
Oh, you know? It was pretty brutal. It was pretty grim. But yeah, back in my cabin, it was crazy because I tried to get to sleep, and I just ended up giggling. I'm just thinking about it. Going, how did not work?
And you mentioned
dropping gold.
And it was the last night of the cruise. And you mentioned imagine that happening on the first night of the cruise with a walk of shame review. What would you do if it was on the first night of the cruise?
I'd lose a lot of weight because I wouldn't be eating. I wouldn't be.
You still go to the crew mess because that's crew delicious. Mess.
Oh yeah, avocado, aardvark snout salads, and
and the wall of Weet-Bix. Have you seen the wall of Weet-Bix?
No.
It's got like a channel.
Oh, right.
With Weet-Bix in it, and you just
pull it out of the
peel
bag.
A little packet of Weet-Bix.
Like a Pez dispenser, yes. Is it?
I've always seen it and went, God, yeah, yeah. Could only happen on a ship.
Yeah.
or at war, I reckon.
We need a more efficient way to get Weet-Bix out. Let's build a Pez dispenser for...
Don't look like too much of a pig and have more than one packet pulled out.
Oh, man. Crazy.
Yeah, so... have you got more of these booked?
Yeah, I got a couple more booked. I'm doing the I got to leave on Christmas Day.
Oh right,
and
right.
Get over here and
I knocked that one back,
and then come back on New Year's Eve.
It's, you must have taken my spot.
I think I may have.
Is it on this ship?
Yes, I believe it is on the ship.
Yeah, because I went nah.
Well, I just
demanded they don't fly me Christmas Day,
and they fly you the next day.
Yeah.
All right, and they said no.
No, they said we it's possible.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, I just figure my kids are so young, they won't really care when Christmas is. I can have it the day earlier.
Yeah.
Have a bit of fun there. And look, man, for one year, I want to just start with a paycheck.
Yeah.
Normally, Christmas, I know, when I first started, Christmas was such a booming time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I remember it too.
Now it's basically, at the end of November, say goodbye to any income.
And Christmas these days is pretty much just walking into a bogan work party and you're going to cry at the end of it anyway.
Yeah, 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 exactly. It's pretty bad.
$1,500 and your dignity between your fucking ass cheeks.
Oh, I know. I did one last Christmas in Melbourne for some trucking company. And so I do this gig. It was fucking horrible. It was horrible. And they weren't listening to me. No one was listening to me. There was no stage. There was a mic there. Ended up doing the show, did my time, got out of there, and I was just like, I'll never be back here again. I go out of there. About 15 minutes later, I'm back on that stage asking if anyone's seen a set of car keys.
Oh, no.
And then they
laughed. Did they get a laugh?
Then they were like, yeah, it's the only laugh. The only laugh I got.
There you go. You earned your money then.
It was that, yeah.
So you're a family man? You got a couple of kids?
I got a couple
three of kids.
Yeah, I got three kids. I got a kid from a previous marriage, Jordan, who's he's a 21-year-old man now, 22-year-old man now. He's gay as a pair of pink fluffy socks. He came
beautiful.
Out.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really happy that he's done that. He's doing well. He scares the shit out of me, though, at times. Cause it's really hard because I had to Google
and look up things, because look, I'm always gay friendly. I've always been gay friendly, but with my son, I thought, well, I don't want to wreck it. So, and I learned things that I've got to do, which I would never have dreamt of doing. Saying things like, "Hey, have you met any cute guys?" I would never have dreamt of doing that. I would have probably just not mentioned it and waited for him. Which is, so I'm asking him, and he's like, "Oh no, it's he gets onto the internet and." He goes, "The only dudes who seem to like me are really old, fat old men."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh." He goes, "So anyway, I've been having heaps of sex." but he was obviously joking. He was,
"Oh, he's got a good sense of humour."
He's got a great sense of humour.
Is he in the entertainment business?
Well, he wants to be an actor.
No.
He makes movies. He makes animation or stop motion.
Oh, nice.
But they do a lot of voiceover work and... He makes movies with his friends. He works at Movie World at the moment.
Oh, cool.
Manning the Superman ride or something. Not really helping his acting career.
What about your daughters? Have they got any acting, entertainment in the blood?
I don't know. They're acting up all the time, so.
How old are they now? There is a test.
Lydia's 9. And Sylvia's 7. They're 18 months apart.
Oh, right. Wow.
So they're all at school liking it. Liddy's starting to develop now.
Right.
Which is scary.
Yes. My daughter's nearly 20 and developed. Yes. You get over it quickly.
Mm.
When they feed their when they meet their first guy that, you know... You get over it quick.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be the end of the fucking world, my little baby girl, but it's like, I just cross this threshold and you're like, whatever. Unless, I did anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe some dads are like,
Oh, look, man, I definitely don't want to stifle their life. You know, it's, I remember what it was like to be young. They're way, well, too young now, mind you. But, not going to be paving the way. So what would it be doing a room up into a little sex dungeon?
off subject, what did you do before comedy?
I did lots of things. I've got no skills, you see.
Not a tradesman.
I did a lot of sales. I did real estate for a little while.
Oh, really?
Before
shocked
in the late 80s before it just started when you could still buy a house for $100,000.
Right, yeah.
That was in Queensland. Sold Foxtel. Just did mostly sales. That's what I was good at. And got into comedy.
How'd you get into comedy?
A friend of mine from Foxtel told me he had a gig. And as you know, I played a bit of guitar and I was paddling around with that. And so I thought it was a music gig. So I rocked up to see it and it was comedy.
Right.
And he was terrible. Just terrible.
That's how I got into it too.
Yeah. And I thought, fuck, I could do this. So I made it as I had a birthday coming up in 2 weeks. So I went up and I said, "Who do I talk to?" And they gave me the guy's name. And I went up and said, "Hey, man, I'd like to give this a go." And booked it in on my birthday. So it was my birthday present to me.
Ballsy.
Yeah.
Ballsy.
My 28th birthday present.
And how long ago was that?
98.
Yeah, same time as me. Yeah. We were in Raw together.
We went to Raw together.
You won, didn't you?
I did win.
You win.
You came second, didn't you?
No one came second.
I was just trying to help the listeners.
Ando thinks he came second.
Yeah, I know. Ando. Yeah, because I beat him at the Comic of the Year.
And then I
beat him at Triple J. And then we went on to the footy show, and it was New Zealand against Queensland. And I was being a Queenslander and him being a New South Wales person. So they put us on there. It was just ridiculous. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So they'd get a laugh and they'd go touchdown, try, whatever. And I won that one too. And I remember Ando coming up afterwards going, "Oh, they gave me a field goal, but that was a touchdown." I'm like, "Are you fucking listening to yourself?"
Competitive, very competitive.
Yeah.
Competitive. And no one's heard of him ever since.
No one's heard of him ever since.
Can you paint?
No, I can't.
So, worst ever gig, apart from the other night?
Worst ever gig was a Fidelli Krisky gig, one of my first ones. He'd sent us off to this work site. So So we're performing in the back of the ute to, and what it turned out to be was 12 angry workers because the guy couldn't pay them. They were contractors that spent thousands of dollars of their own money doing this job, and the dude in charge had gone belly up. So to break the news to him, he put on a barbecue with some entertainment.
Jesus.
So I'm on the back of this ute. I'm starting to realise, and there's just 12 angry dudes going, how much are you getting fucking paid for this, buddy? Like, oh, $800?
Right. And they're like, that's the worst ever gig.
That is the worst. And, yeah, so we didn't get paid either.
Oh, really?
But, yeah.
All right. Well, what about best ever gig?
Best ever gig, oh, I've done so many. I've done so many gigs that I've really enjoyed.
Yeah. Stand out.
Just, stand
and
out.
And why?
I really, oh, that's a really hard one. I don't keep tabs on the on the good gigs. I tell you what I'm really loving at the moment is in Melbourne, Spleen and Crab Lab.
Right.
There's two rooms. So one's on a Monday, one's on a Wednesday. And what I'll do, especially after being on a cruise, because I've got ideas bouncing around. So on Monday, I will just write something. And I'll go 5 minutes. I'll write a new 5 minutes and just throw it together. And then I'll get up at Spleen, do it there, and then fine-tune that and have it by Wednesday. So, and do it at the Crab Lab. And they're great gigs. They are cool. So up for us. It is.
See, there's nothing like that in Sydney.
There's nothing. Well, what it is, and I'd never experienced before, it's pro open mic.
Ah, right.
So it's just people who have heaps of experience.
That's a great idea doing, for Sydney. I should doing, start something like that in Sydney.
Doing new material. And because the punters, they're seeing heaps of famous people. You've got Arj Barker doing it. You've got...
And you get a crowd?
Yeah, oh, you get heaps of crowds.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's just everyone's
heaps doing... Heaps of crowded crowds.
Crowded... yeah, the crowds are crowded. It's and it is so good. So they're all pros. It's all new. Every now and then someone will get up and do old, but...
Yeah, okay. Oh, that's a good... That's a really good
pro
idea.
Pro open mic.
There's nothing like that in Sydney.
And they don't pay to get in. They just rattle a thing at the door and the MC gets a bit of money. And,
right.
But everyone gets free beers and you're with industry people and you just watching comics that you know are great coming out and doing new material. And it's always brand new, you know. Right. And I guess it's something when you've got someone with 2 decades of experience under their belt, they can make it seem very slick.
Wow, nice. No. Nah, nah. Have you got anything else on the boil other than comedy? Got any ideas?
No.
Like a painting famous people show?
No, I just writing my festival show for next year.
What is your writing process, by the way? Because if you haven't seen Chris, very good writer, like really spins the yarn with little bombs along the way, leading away to up a big punchline at the end.
I rewrite a lot. That's what I normally do is if I'm looking for material, I often just find an old joke I've got and I'll just rewrite that joke. And in the process of rewriting it, I'll write more jokes around it.
Yeah.
So every time I rewrite a joke, there's something else that'll go into it.
It's a good tip for the kids.
It is a good tip for the kids.
And you got any strange hobbies?
I've just bought a BMX bike.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a good one?
Like a really good one.
What's a good BMX cost?
This one was, say, $790 last year, but I got it on eBay this year for $50 around the corner.
Really?
Yeah, and I Googled it and I had a look at it and I was like, this is... So I just saw it because I was an old BMX rider.
Yeah,
so
you
just,
were. You're a good skateboarder too, aren't you?
I was. I'm not now. I'm terrible. But I just had a look at it and it was around the corner and $50. I went, oh, fuck, I'm going to buy that. I'll just do it up and have some fun. Maybe do a YouTube series of old man tricks. And that's remember, guys, when you're filming it, always suck your tummy in.
That's great.
And just do tricks. But
don't wear open-toed sandals.
Yeah,
there for the barbecue.
Yeah, I thought that'd be a really funny. And then of course doing some pretty good tricks on it.
And just get old blokes watching it going, whoa!
Yeah, I'm gonna get one.
And so I bought that for $50, and I've just got to buy a pair of pegs for it now, and off I go.
Sweet.
I'm going to spend more money getting a set of pegs on it than...
Oh, right.
I'm going to spend $100 on pegs. But it's three-piece cranks and
it's a GT. Just bought a mountain bike and realised how much they hurt your ass.
Oh, they do, don't they? Yeah.
Those seats.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking dildo. But not as good.
Nowhere near as good.
You've got to just put more effort into it. You've got to pedal. Yeah. And the other way, your girlfriend just straps it on.
Yeah. I want to get a big old padded saddle for mine.
I'm thinking about that. You can get the gel seats.
You can get those big brown leathery ones and they're soft as anything.
Yeah, you'd think my ass would be really padded now.
But well, BMX just... seats don't have any padding.
No, it's just...
It's just like a bit of hard plastic. A
bit of bone.
I know, it's just... Yeah, it's not much difference between that and a seat pole.
Oh, well, it was a great chat. I don't think we've got anything much to say. Except,
Can I ask you some questions?
You can ask me some questions.
Okay, what are your hobbies? Oh, mountain biking.
Well, yeah, I just moved house to an area that's has a lot of walking and bike tracks.
It's crazy.
So
it's nice. And a view of the river, Is that the Parramatta River?
Parramatta River, Duck Creek.
Okay.
So, just coming in for prey.
Now, you've been in a chapel.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Nearly burnt as I walked in.
Well, cool.
So is it in operation on Sunday? I'm sure it would be. I expect to see you on Sunday.
Vicky, you go at confession on Sunday?
Sunday, yeah, I'll be here. I'm actually the priest. A couple of punters just came in. So we are in a chapel. Hobbies, I was making beard balm for about 2 years.
Oh, beard balm.
Getting a bit of cash.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. That was you made that.
Yeah.
So what does beard balm do?
Beard balm, it conditions and shapes the beard.
Okay.
Keeps the skin underneath spot-free.
Okay.
It's made up of argan oil, coconut oil.
Okay.
And you hold it together with shea butter and beeswax.
Okay.
So, and you just rub it between your hands till it warms up. Then you rub it through your beard. Then you comb it through.
Comb it through. Now, does that also work on your hair?
Yeah. Well, actually,
it's like wax, right? It's like a hair wax.
Yeah, but it's a soft version. I've had mates' wives who have frizzy hair. They use it as a defrizzer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because argan oil is really good.
Right.
It's really good oil.
Good, healthy for your hair.
Yeah.
And you also make soap too, don't you?
Made beer soap, stout soap. Yeah, really good soap, actually.
Okay. Does it have a fragrance?
Yeah, I generally just use ginger and cloves. And cinnamon.
You're such a weirdo.
I am, aren't I?
You are such a fucking weirdo. Yeah. I would never. If someone said.
But I make beer as well.
What do you think Mick is making? Soap would have been the last thing.
What would you think I was making?
Oh, anything but soap, really.
A chest of drawers.
And you gave me that. Yeah, exactly. And you gave me that.
Hopeless carpet.
That it's very volatile. For 3 weeks or something. Acidic,
4 weeks.
Right, 4 weeks.
28 days.
28 days, so you can't touch it or burn it.
29th day, apparently it's great.
All right.
Yeah, it lathers up a dream.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so that's my hobby.
That's exciting.
I made beer for a couple of years too, but I've just kind of stopped that. I've got my last passion fruit cider in at the moment.
Okay.
So I'm going to bottle that when I get home.
Yeah.
That's a big hit. It tastes like Passiona. And get you fucking off your tits.
Passiona. Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I love Passiona. That was one of my favourite soft drinks when I was growing up.
You're in Sydney, mate. Come and get a bottle, mate. It'll knock your fucking head off.
I definitely will.
It tastes delicious. And
in fact, I am in Sydney in December. So why don't we do another podcast then?
Let's do
it. Over a bottle of...
You can come to the mansion at Duck Creek.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And maybe even hop up at this new pro open mic
that I'm starting.
Do you reckon you could do that? Have you got a venue?
That should be my new hobby.
Do it, man.
Should be a new hobby. I need a hobby. Yeah, I'll go mental because I get home from cruises and go, Dory.
Yeah, Dory. It's... Look, all the... Like, anyone who goes... Hey, look, if you come to Melbourne, I'll definitely pop you on it. You would fucking love it.
Oh, yeah,
it is so much fun.
And it's there's musos, there's all sorts of people that do it. You know, it's all sorts of comedy.
I roll out new gear in the fifth show on the cruise because I've got nothing left.
Yeah, well, I'm from the fourth. I'm pretty fucked. But yeah, it's that'd be good, man. I reckon you should definitely do that. It would be great. But the difference, I'd say, between Melbourne and Sydney comedy, and this is not me being biased, because as you know, I lived in Sydney for a long time. I lived in Brisbane. I've done all the scenes. But where Sydney, the heart of the comedy industry are the comedians, where in Melbourne, the heart of the comedy industry are the punters.
Yeah, that's the difference. And punters are so different in Melbourne and Sydney.
They are so different. And you can see a comedian take it in the ass, and the punters will actually go, "Oh, he had a tough one there. You know, he wasn't on his game today." Yeah. They really get that. Yeah. We're in Sydney.
What was wrong with that?
They're walking away going, "Oh, comedy sucks in this country. There's no good comedians in this country because some poor dude took it in the ass on a tough gig." And they blame the industry where the punters, they're just, "No, oh, okay, he wasn't on his
it's
game."
It's funny. It's funny for
it's weird.
You know, like a half a day's car ride apart.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't get that.
But then you're looking at Melbourne again too, like it's all in the city. Yeah. Everyone goes to the city.
Yeah.
You've got two gigs on the Monday night, which are with a 5-minute walk from each other in the middle of the city. They're both packed.
Yeah, well, see, Sydney's not like that.
No.
City-wise.
No, you're all over the shop.
I think it might eventually get there.
Well, I think Melbourne, the infrastructure is guided for everyone to get into the city really easily and get out.
Yeah.
And, 24-hour public transport on the weekends.
Sydney's been put together by the Monopoly guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, no, that'll be my next.
I can Pro Open might not be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for the chat, Chris.
Hey, no worries, man.
It was delightful.
Yeah, cool.
It's very rare to have a guest on the podcast. This is my other hobby podcast.
Okay, yeah. Do you do it solos?
I've just been doing it on my own. I started out. Well, Bart Freeband got me into it because he does a couple of solo ones.
Okay.
Hello.
And just started out as because I was actually trying to get a therapist because I was going a bit mental.
Oh, okay.
I went and seen a couple of shrinks and I hated them.
Yeah.
And they just were hitting the wrong mark with me. Like, that, both of them said, "Oh, you should quit comedy for a while," which is just the end of the world for comedians.
Well,
you never come back. Makes no sense. You never come back.
Yeah.
And I says, "I'm not even saying anything about comedy." She says, "You just have a rest. Just get a job for a while and fuck off."
Yeah. That's,
so then I just started doing this podcast where I was just riffing and just talking shit. And they're only like 10, 20 minute podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd always come up with a piece of gold.
Yeah.
Which I've blended into comedy, so
okay,
it's all worked. Well, I get about 200 downloads a week.
What was the piece of gold you came up with this episode?
I'll have to listen back to it.
Dory.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I had a great time doing it, sitting in a chapel. We were both feeling a little bit warm, hot under the collar, sitting in a very unnatural environment to both of us. And goodbye in Greek is Yasu again, the same as hello. I love those languages. Imagine if English was hello. Goodbye and hello. 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 What did you just say? You're saying goodbye. Hello. 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 Anyway, I will endeavour to do some more podcasts. I've been a bit slack lately, but life has kind of smoothed itself out now. See you next time, Mind Meatheads.